Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. Hey, The Mortgage Voice with me, Jeff Barton, is available on demand and on the air, both places. Anytime you need to find the latest mortgage information, you can find us immediately on the tube. Yep, we upload the video version of the show every week. YouTube. Go to YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. You can see it. Click on you like it and sign up. Just search for The Mortgage Voice. You can also listen to the show on demand with your mobile device via any of our podcast partners. Podcast partners like Apple, Google Podcasts, Spreaker, IO Clips, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Plus, we're still available on traditional radio. You can find us almost anywhere. We're in Albuquerque. We're in the Inland Empire of Southern California. We're up in Lake Tahoe and also Las Vegas, Nevada. So if you can't find us, you're not looking. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage business, and thanks very much for listening. Okay, so we're in February now, February 2022, and yes, it has been a monumentous first month. Why? Because weather across the country has really hurt real estate sales, really hurt a lot of people trying to get out to see properties. The main reason it hurts is because it's cold in most of the country. The weather is terrible in most of the country, and no seller wants to sell their property in most of the country. So if you're somebody who's looking for a property, a great deal, something that you have to do right now, you're in tough luck. I have a statistic here, and I'm going to, if I can find it, it talks about the amount of properties listed in the U.S. Actually, it was an article I read earlier on Housing Wire. If you go, you know what? Some great information on Housing Wire. You got to sign up. Yeah, I know it's a pain. But if you're in the market or you're in the business, Housing Wire is great because they not only have content of their own, they have sponsored content, which sometimes is bad, but sometimes it's good. For instance, the sponsored content about mortgage fraud, which I purchased. And when I had a subscription to Housing Wire, it was great. It really talked about what happened during the 2008 mortgage meltdown, what can happen, why there are certain areas in the industry that you have to always be really watch over because it's prime and ripe for people to come in and try to do something that, you know, causes that loan to be bad. One of the reasons the loans haven't been bad is because on the upfront of most of the loans nowadays, since 2000, really 10 Dodd-Frank, is that the loans themselves are high quality. You know that over 80% of the loans are over a 700 FICO score? That's unbelievable. Back in 08, when we had the mortgage meltdown, the mortgage crisis, that number was about 620 to 640. So with the increased score, obviously the better borrower, people who are really good at paying their bills, that means that the loans that are being made and have been made over the last decade have been terrific. That's why we see the default rates, even during COVID, really at pretty much historic lows. They reached that level again to the lowest level of foreclosure rates, delinquency rate, serious delinquency rate. Delinquency rate is usually if you don't pay your loan. So the next day it's delinquent. 30 to 60 days is serious delinquent. 90 days is another level. Anyway, all these levels, lowest it's ever been. And that's, again, after the foreclosure process has begun again in the mortgage market, which, you know, it speaks of a lot of good things, a lot of things that I think are apt. But as we were saying, in this market, if you're looking for a house right now, yeah, the mortgage rates are higher, but they're not high. Last mortgage I got was 5.25%. Now that was low at that time. Matter of fact, the rates dipped below that at that time, and I didn't refi. Why? Because I was happy with my mortgage. I could pay for it. It dropped a quarter or a half. You know, they always say if you can drop it a half a point and you're under 2-3 years having paid off your current loan, it's probably worth it because you can pay up or make up the difference of the money you lost in interest payments. But I was 10 years into it. I wasn't going to, you know, lower my interest rate. Plus, I went to a 15-year, and that's another option for people out there right now. That 15-year is still a pretty good let's look at this. The 15 years at 3%. So a 3% loan at 15 years is as good as getting a 4.5% loan at 30 years, right? Because you can almost make the same payment and pay it off 15 years earlier. So we're getting to the point right now where people have to make some decisions about how they want to, you know, approach the mortgage market. People who want to buy, obviously I'm saying that there's no inventory on the market right now, so it's not a great time to get out there and buy. Although I spoke to a client in New York City, and she's in the bond trading business, and she was telling me municipal bonds. I don't know any of you in the audience have been listening to not only this show, but reading online about what's going on in the stock market as well as the bond market. The bond market's been getting hammered, municipal bond market especially. So she was telling me, as a result of all this, that she's looking for a house. And this is specifically perfect for the real estate industry. It's a person who's in finance, understands the bond market, understand why the municipal bond market has been getting hammered, i.e. nobody wants to buy the municipal bonds, and it's going to cost those particular entities, those cities, those towns, those counties, more money to have people underwrite the file, underwrite the bond that they want to float, you know, because they want to do something in their town. This is what she does for Goldman or somebody like that. But even though she knows all this about finance, she's still thinking, yeah, but what if I can get a great deal on a house? Is that not the perfect buyer explanation for any buyer that's ever out there? Not looking at macro trends, what's going on in your neighborhood, you know, what you know about the market, what you know about finance, where mortgage rates are headed. Nah, I want to get the special deal. I'm like, come on. That's why real estate is always exciting. It's always something that you can get your arms around and again, and really talk about in many, many different ways. Daryl, I know you are an aficionado of a lot of the real estate shows on TV, right?
Oh, yeah, I love them.
Okay.
Well, each and every one of them.
Okay. Well, it's funny. I saw one the other night, which I really liked. It was a fix and flipper type show.
Yeah.
But it was also about, there was some competition involved, too, and I can't remember the name of it. But it was really interesting. It was a new kind of idea I had not seen. What's your favorite?
I'd say Flip or Flop. Yeah, and then I love the Joanna and Chip Gaines stuff.
Okay.
You know? They've got a whole network now. They're the Magnolia Network. They took the DIY channel and turned it into Magnolia Network, and they're programming it 24/7.
Oh, I had no idea. Yeah. So, okay, how do you reach that? I mean, what is it, on the dial? Is
yeah,
it on,
yeah,
online?
It's on the cable.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, so if you're out there, think about that, obviously. Right, if it's so interesting to, you know, all of us that they can now make one channel 24/7 just about real estate.
Right, correct.
What's going on in real estate? It was DIY, and now it's...
It's the Magnolia Channel.
Magnolia Channel, okay.
Because they own Magnolia Farms, was the first entity that they made public.
Oh, I see. Okay, excellent. Okay, interesting, right? I mean, so in the real estate world, based on whatever's happening in your financial situation, you're still thinking about that opportunity that you have. Now, I read about an opportunity today, which I thought was excellent. Because of the way the market is right now, we have rising interest rates. So if you bought something in the last couple, 3 years, you probably have a very low interest rate. Now, obviously, 3% or whatever it is, almost 4% interest rate on a 30-year fixed is still historically low, right? Maybe not all time, but pretty low. So if you're buying in this arena and rates keep rising, your incentive to move or sell that house and get a higher rate on some different property is not great. Most people who want to move are keeping that property and renting it out. Depending on where you live, there are all kind of new rental restrictions on properties, especially if you live in some of the big cities and rights of tenants and stuff like that. But for the most part, most of the country is really happy with, okay, I own a piece of property, I'm going to rent it out to you. And it's a pretty good deal for the landlord, it's a pretty good deal for the renter. So that's what a lot of people are doing. They are moving out of the house that they have the great rate on, and they're paying historically low rates, and going and buying something else, renting out the first house, and that's a great way to do it. And that's why a lot of people love real estate. The great deal, as my client in New York said, oh, I want the great deal, even though she knows all the bad things happening in the economy, all the bad things happening in the bond market, we're going to get into that in a later segment of the show, just as to talk about where specifically we are in the bonds, where specifically we are in the rates. But yeah, everybody wants to get in on it. That, like I say, the show, Magnolia Farms, is that what it is? Yes,
flip
right?
or flop. Yeah.
Flip or flop. Yeah, I mean, it's great. Anyway, I have a real estate show coming out soon myself. We'll get into that also in a little while. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks for tuning in. Sorry I'm jumping all over the place, but I'm excited. It's February. It's 2002, and it's time to get into real estate. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show each and every week. Hey, our show is available, you know, wherever you need information, especially if you need it right away. You know, everyone's busy, so we make it easy to watch or listen to the show. Find our episodes on demand from our website at themortgagevoice.com. We're also on SoundCloud at The Mortgage Voice, and our Mortgage Minutes and weekly program is always available on YouTube. Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. Podcast form wherever you get podcasts, including Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spreaker, Podclips.io, Spotify, and more. Check us out. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Thanks for tuning in. Okay, so each and every week we bring to the show great people. Now, at the beginning of this year, I made a commitment to try to bring on not only great people, but people who are familiar with the format, what we do on the show, and how we try to help people. Not only pitch what we're doing, but also give them some inside information as to what's going on in the mortgage market. Now, everybody knows rates, where they're going. That's all people talk about. Talking to my niece earlier in the day, she was all about, you know, what's available to buy. I want to get the great house. So bringing a guy like Charles on to the show, he's the one that's going to give us some answers. Charles Giscombe joins us now. Charles, how are you?
I am great. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
And thank you very much for coming on. First off, beginning of the year, where do you see the market right now in terms of the mortgage market? Do you see rates stabilizing for a while? Do you think they're going to go up a little bit more? What's happening?
Yeah, I think from the uncertainty, things will move a little bit. But I do believe that I'm still able to provide help to our clients, and the interest rates are still pretty good, Jeff.
Yep.
I just gave one of our clients 2.75. They were really happy, 30-year fix, and that is when the prices have worsened. So I can imagine that they'll go down and up, and we'll still be able to provide some really, really good interest rates. I think if you're in the market, you still should be in there. You should go hard and get in, because right as of right now, it's still competitive, and we're still providing great interest rates.
Okay, so you just made a great point of why a mortgage broker per se is better than just going to one lender. It's because they have the ability to shop for the best rates. And I know a lot of people, rate is not the most important thing, but for most people, the first thing they think about is rate. Now, if you go to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, you go to Bankers Rate, you can see rates really range quite a bit. What's the best way to figure out what's best for you?
Well, you know, I look at people all the time and say, what is your financial structure? What is the best possible scenario for you to get qualified for a mortgage? And I go on with the clients all the time, and I say, listen, understanding something. If your financial structure will allow you to provide the documentation from A to Z, you should always go traditional, and we can help you get to the bigger banks with the lower interest rates and provide that for you. If it's not, your structure is a little bit different, maybe a little different alternative, I would say, then we can take you to a non-QM bank. The interest rates might be quite a bit higher, a little bit higher. But the beautiful thing is, and sometimes when you go to non-QM, there's a lot of benefits that will offset the difference in interest rate from a traditional mortgage. You may have a great rate with a traditional mortgage, but you may have mortgage insurance. Well, I always tell people, listen, you can go into the other bank in the non-QM, get you a program with a bank statement program. Interest rate might be higher, but because there's no mortgage insurance, the check you write every month might be comparable to that low interest rate loan that you receive on your traditional mortgage. So there's many things that I talk about clients to find out how they will qualify, what documentation they have, and we'll put them in a product that best suits for them. In a lot of cases, they will come out just as good or comparable to a traditional mortgage by going a different route.
Oh, that's excellent advice, and I 100% agree with what you just said. It really is client-dependent. There are people who beat the drum and I can get this and I can, you know, from my people. Well, that may be true for a lot of borrowers and going to your people. However, if you need some specific help with a specific way that you want to do a particular loan, you're going to need somebody to spend some time. And most of the large companies don't have the time to spend the time. You need an independent, somebody who is, you know, that's their business. And like you said, you working for Malibu Funding, company that you work for, that's, you know, that's the way they do business.
That's a great way we do business. I love Malibu Funding, from traditional all the way down to the most innovative and creative way we like to help people. And the larger companies don't have to go the distance, as Jeff said, but right. We will go the distance to find out if you have the ability to repay. Malibu Funding will find a way for you to get financed.
No, that's a great point, and appreciate that. And I'm sure people who are listening to the show appreciate that. Okay, so different products out there, different costs to each product. But if there's nothing to buy, what are we talking about? Where is the real estate market? Now, I know you are the a great qualified individual, loan officer out in the state of Nevada, but you work all over the country. Where are you seeing some of the opportunities to buy either an investment property or a place to live?
You know what, Jeff? It's all over the place.
Yep.
I'm dealing with a bunch of groups that are dealing in Georgia, in North Carolina. The markets, you know, obviously it's very competitive still. The supply doesn't meet the demand, and so at the end of the day, everybody runs into that.
Yep.
But you have to keep working and searching. There's houses out there, and obviously the market, the way it was before, in which it was so many people in the market and was so competitive and it was bidding, I think that now it won't crash, but it will stabilize, and it'll get back to what the actual price points were, and individuals will start buying houses at that point. It won't be bidding and bidding and upbidding and
right.
taking the house out of this realm, or you're going for a property that's not actually worth what's going on. So I just feel like you got to get out there. You got to get a real estate agent that's super diligent and is knocking on doors. And, you know, there's a lot of real estate agents out there that have great relationships that can find some diamonds in the rough.
Well,
you just got to get out there.
You know, I mean, what you just said about diamonds in the rough, I think that is the, you know, if you looked up real estate in the dictionary, they would have diamonds in the rough. I mean, everybody wants to get that special property for them. It makes buying and the buying process unique because everyone is still looking for the best deal. It's not like you go to the supermarket and you're buying bread or milk. Hey, bread or milk, it's the same. I mean, yeah, 2% versus, you know, full. I mean, what's the difference, right? To you and me, nothing. But in the housing world, it's really specifically about that particular property, that great deal. And every borrower, every buyer who is out there is still looking for that, which means somebody to come up with the financing to be able to be creative enough for you to go in, no contingencies. We can close this thing in 10 days. These are some of the things that a nimble lender, i.e., when I say that, I mean broker, can get in and do, whereas if you go to, you know, the big box banks, no chance. That's a six-week loan, and I don't care what you're doing.
That's exactly right, Jeff. I always say that we at Malibu Funding try to find reasons to get deals done and not find reasons not to do deals. If you have a larger tool bag, but you have more
right.
resources and tools in it that you can go to go from A to Z, it's qualifying someone, whether it be alternative doc, traditional doc, hard money, commercial, all kinds of loans that are out there. We have the ability to move throughout all of those different types of loans to find out how to make it happen. And sometimes, like Jeff just said, the difference will be, hey, listen, we can buy this property. We can remove this particular contingency because we can get you a pool faster. Because with a non-traditional loan, you can go with bank statements. You don't
right.
have to wait for the 4506T. It's not the same red tape. That may be the difference between you getting a loan, getting a transaction approved or not approved, or you winning that particular bid. So you should take that into consideration when you're looking for a lender, a broker, someone to help you. Like I said all the time, and I always say this about Malibu Funding, it's an environment that offers individuals the opportunity to dig in be creative and help everyone that comes through the door.
Yeah, and I think borrowers that are looking for that sort of thing are really, they really understand the situation, what's happening in their own life, so they need somebody to help them along the way, and I think that's what you can do. Listen, can you shout out a way by which people can get a hold of you, especially through this conversation? Thanks, man.
Yes, you can reach me directly at 702-328-5191. That's 702-328-5191. Or you can email me at charles@malibufunding.biz. That's charles@malibufunding.boyisaaczenith.
Thanks very much. And appreciate you coming on. Once again, really good conversation. Thanks a lot.
Jeff, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That's Charles Giscombe from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
Listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. Hey, check out our website at themortgagevoice.com. There you can find the latest on-demand episodes of The Mortgage Voice, information about our guests, as well as their contact information. So the guests you hear on today's show, you can find their face, picture, little bio, and their information on how to get in touch with them. You can also read my blog, which keeps you updated with the very latest mortgage news. Check it out. Bookmark us. That's themortgagevoice.com. Hey, thanks for listening in. Thanks for coming to the show each and every week. We love it. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. Okay, so what's happening in the market? Every market is local. Every market is almost unto itself a different entity. And one of the people that we rely on in this particular market in Southern California, San Bernardino, Riverside, Los Angeles, and Orange counties is one of our favorite guests that comes on the show. He's always well-informed and very positive attitude, George Gonzalez. George, how are you?
Hey, Jeff. I'm doing great, man. Thank you for checking in with me.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for coming on. Okay, as I've asked a couple of guests today already on the show about what's happening, what is happening in your neighborhood with the mortgage market? What's happening in the real estate market? Where do you see we are right now?
Well, Jeff, you know, as everybody's hearing on these daily news and the mortgage news and the housing news, you know, the market's still blowing up. The houses are still kind of low. The inventory, because as soon as the house comes up for sale, it sells, you know.
Right.
So these rates are creeping up a little bit on us, you know, kind of. It's affecting us, our buyers, a little bit. But you know what? They're just threatening so far. But they're letting us know that to hurry up, either buy right away, because your sales price and your monthly payments are going to start going up.
You know, that's interesting. And I agree with you 100% with what you just said. It's what I read. It's what kind of the you know, the buzz is in the industry. But I felt this way also a year ago. And what happened? The rates went down. And so what's the difference between today and last year? Do you have a difference? Can you think of something?
Well, what I've noticed, you know, from my point of view, because, you know, I'm every day, you know, looking at the numbers and looking at the interest rates. Refinances were hot on our book last two years, because a lot of people were, equity positions were going up, and if they're in an FHA loan paying mortgage insurance, they're just interested in getting rid of that MIP payment and knocking down their payment. And, you know, there was a few borrowers who also pulled out some cash to consolidate some, you know, some debts to get in a better payment than they currently were at with the FHA. So
okay,
that's what I've been seeing, is a lot of the FHA going to the conventionals because of their equity positions. That's what's been strong over the last year.
I see. So the difference is, at that time, people were doing it for a particular reason. Now they're doing it because the rates are going up. They want to get in on before they go up even further. Is that what you're saying?
That is correct, Jeff. You know, or they just want to consolidate their bills because they're tired of that extra, you know, the debt that they accumulated over the last few years. Maybe if they were out of work because of, you know, the pandemic or whatever was going on.
Yeah, employment. What's happening in the IE?
Unemployment. I mean, I'm looking everywhere I drive. There's jobs everywhere I look. There's
right.
Job openings everywhere. You know, I see them. So I see the jobs. It's just a matter of, I guess, maybe job quality is what's being affected.
I see. So, you know, because I read today that there's some 11.5 million jobs available in the U.S., and yet there seems to be no like nobody stepping up. And some of these are pretty good paying jobs. Is it just because people don't want to go back to work? Or is it, as you say, the quality of the job isn't quite what they're looking for?
Quality of the job is not what it was. Also, unemployment is still, you know, paying pretty good from what I understand, what I'm hearing. So people are saying, hey, you know, I can stay home and get paid like I can working at one of these, you know, side jobs down the street. So, I mean, that's what I'm noticing right now, Jeff. And, you know, it's kind of affecting borrowers too, buyers.
Right. Right. I was just going to ask you that. In the fact that, you know, let's say you haven't been working and now you've gone back to work, what happens with that gap that you can't prove income because you were either laid off or you were COVID out? How do you handle that when you're trying to get a loan for somebody?
Well, what we're noticing and what's kind of working, as long as they stay in the same field, we're not really having an issue. However, there are a couple of lenders that we work with. You know, being a mortgage broker, we have the different banks that we work with. There some banks are allowing us to go ahead and just return, even if it's another field, because they understand the pandemic was there, because it's proof. We have solid proof that there was a pandemic for the last 2 years, you know, with that COVID or whatever you call it.
Right. Now, COVID fatigue, right? Everybody knows what that is. But the people who say that I'm just done with COVID, I read an article the other day that said about a third of the people in the country just said, I don't care. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm just doing what I'm doing. What's it like out there? And is it affecting how people are spending money? Obviously, spending money is a good thing, especially for a small business owner. Might help them get qualified a bit more. So what is the sentiment out there?
Well, exactly what you're saying is, you know, out here in the Inland Empire, Riverside County area where I'm at, they're not really affecting the mask too much. They might, you know, when you walk in, they might say, hey, put your mask on. Then once you pass them up, you take it off. Nobody's really, really caring or saying something.
Right.
Different than I have some family and friends out in the LA County. It's a different story. You know, they're acting a little different, a little more strict, restrictor on the mask. They want you to wear a mask and mask this and mask that. So, I don't know. I guess it's like a coin toss.
Right, I agree. Okay, some of the programs that you're seeing be popularized right now. You mentioned FHA, people wanting to get out of MIP. What are, is it non-QM? Is it a traditional 30-year? What are you seeing?
It's the 30-year, the fixed rates right now. The average, let's say if you have a 720 FICO score and you have about, let's say, 20% equity in your property, you can probably get about a 3.625 to a 3.75 interest rate on a 30-year fixed.
Yep, that's good.
So that's where they're at.
Yeah, no, that's historically good. Are you seeing more purchase? Obviously, more purchase than refis, but what the percentage of purchase to refis are you seeing?
I got to say, you know, maybe 4-1. 4-1 right now. You know, I have a bunch of pre-approved borrowers, like I mentioned earlier, that, you know, inventory is still low, so as soon as they get their offer accepted, we're trying to get that loan going and closed because, you know, they're moving quick.
Yeah, they are, and I think that's going to continue. That's a trend, and as real estate goes, are you seeing, as you said earlier, properties fly off the market really quickly? Are they getting multiple offers? How's that working?
Multiple offers, you know, and these listing agents, you know, God bless their hearts, you know, they're working their butts off there.
Yep.
They're these weekends, these open houses, you see a line of people out there,
right,
you know, coming to look at the house and then looking after, you know, offer after offer. So it's just a matter of whichever the seller chooses. That's the hard part.
Yeah, that is the hard part. And how do you keep your buyers who you're getting the pre-approvals for, how do you keep motivated? I mean, obviously from the financing end, they're either financed or they're not. So I guess maybe that this is on the real estate agent, but what do you do to help keep them motivated to keep looking?
Well, my new trick is what I'm doing is, you know, some of them get weary and tired because they're tired of looking, or maybe their credit report gets old or weary. They need money after all. They can't use their down payment for something else or whatever.
Yep.
Hey, I just tell them my number's open. You can call me anytime. We keep a line of communication open so that, you know, if I do find a house for them, I let them know, hey, there's a house that came up. Would you be interested? You know, stuff like that. I try to keep them in communication so I can keep them in my line.
No, I think that's the best way. Obviously, communication with anybody, keep them interested in. If you're interested, they will probably be interested in reminding those particular borrowers, buyers, of why they wanted to get a house in the first place. I mean, imagining yourself owning a house that's yours, and you can start making money on the equity you're building, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. You know, and that's the main thing. Like I try to tell, some of my new partners in the business, is they say, George, how do you keep getting, the business? Well, I tell them, all you do is just, keep the open communication and,
right.
and basically give them the information that they need, important information that they need when it comes to refinancing or buying whatever it is that they want to do.
Now, you've been a successful agent for a long time, a successful loan officer. What do you say to the young people that you're working with or the new people that you're working with?
You know what it is? It's just giving them information after information. When they ask you a question, you give them the answer right away because, I've been in the business over 10, 11, 12 years, so it's like my brain is alone.
Right.
So, they ask me something, I automatically know. I don't have to go look for it.
Right. No, that's good.
So that kind of helps me.
Okay, George, tell people how they can get in touch with you. Great agent out there in the IE, the Inland Empire, San Bernardino, and Riverside counties. Let them know.
You can get at me at area code 909-900-9565. You can reach me at georggglending@gmail.com or malibufunding.net is where I'm at.
Thank you very much, George, once again. Great information. Hope people give you a call. You're one of the best out there. Thanks very much for coming on.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it, and I'll be out here anytime.
Excellent. Thank you very much. That's George Gonzalez for Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. Check out our website at themortgagevoice.com. You can find the latest on-demand episodes of The Mortgage Voice, information about our guests, as well as their contact information. You can also read my blog, which keeps you updated with the very latest mortgage news. Check it out. Bookmark us. That's themortgagevoice.com. And we've been doing this show for, I don't know, eight or nine years. Daryl, you and I have done hundreds of shows, yes?
This is show number 290-something, 294.
Excellent. So that's
294 weeks.
Yeah, exactly right. So you count that out in 52 weeks a year, you can see, that's four or five easy years. So as we are doing this show, as the show goes on year after year, you kind of get a feel for what's going on in the marketplace just because I'm constantly not only worried about what I'm doing with my own company, Malibu Funding. It's a company I work for. They sponsor the show. Their NMLS number is 79620. But you get a feel because you're researching what goes into the show, what's happening in the market. And we interview hundreds of guests a year and have been doing so for, as I say, several years. So I have all this information, and you begin to repeat what has happened in the past. This particular raise in interest rates we've had happen many times since the 80s, right? But in the last few years, it's not really happened. What we've seen is a tremendous downward push on interest rates. We are now seeing an upward push on interest rates, but for things other than bad loans. Bad loans is what happened in 08. This time around, it's inflation. Now, we haven't seen inflation, and one of the things about inflation is most of the regulators, most of the people at the Fed have not seen inflation ever because it really hasn't happened since the 80s. So if you were around in the 80s, you remember those times. You remember what inflation was. Inflation was, to the mortgage market, 18% interest rate on a loan. That's what you would do. Now, there were different ways that you could finance properties in those days, but if you wanted a real estate loan, that's what you paid. We're nowhere near that. As a matter of fact, if we're talking creeping interest rates, we're creeping to 3%, 3.5%, 4%. Okay, that's quite a bit of ways from where it was when we were talking about inflation back in the 70s. Inflation today is affecting the poor the most. Why? Because your general household items, foodstuffs, rent, all of these things are increasing in what the costs are. for the middle class and certainly the upper class, it's an inconvenience and a do without a certain item. It is not something that's going to prevent you from doing what you want to do on a daily basis, even though it's bad, I don't like it, and I don't like paying more than I should pay. Some of the things that we see over this long period of the show, over these, obviously, years of doing it, when it seems it's a certain way, something happens to change it to a different way. Unless there's a catastrophic event, i.e., the mortgage mess we had in 08. Other than that, there's always opportunity within what we do in real estate and mortgages. The payment structure, how you qualify for that payment structure, and what you can do once you gain the property. All of these things are to your advantage owning real estate or going to purchase real estate. If we're in an up market, if we're in a down market, if we're in an equity building market, if we're in an equity losing market, the advantages to owning property are so great that most people who lost two-thirds value in their house in 2008 recovered most of their value within 6 or 7 years. And those people have almost doubled the value of their home from that period. Pretty amazing. Think about the stock market, some of the other things that we look to when we don't mention inflation, but they are inflationary, but they're to your advantage. Stock market itself was 7,300 when in 2008 after the Great Recession. Today, 35,000. And we even had a tough week, couple weeks. We're going to have a tough couple of weeks. Why? Interest rates are rising from what the Fed lends out to their members, right? The base interest rate is probably going to raise a quarter point in March, quarter point in May, and maybe 4 or 5 of them this year in order to quell inflation. However, that is really some stupendous returns on your money if you had your money in the stock market. Real estate is no different. As I said, doubling your, you know, the value of your real estate holdings in the last 5 or 6 years, 7 years is pretty amazing. And this is in all parts of the country. It's not just, you know, where I live, and I live in a very nice area, but in all areas. We had will have Charles Giscombe on the property today. He's out in Las Vegas, Nevada. Now, during the Great Recession, two-thirds of the value of the property out there lost. And we talked earlier in the show today about how 6 lenders who are public entities went public last year, lost $36 billion in market cap this year from last August till January 31st this year. There's a lot of ways that things go up and down. One thing you can be absolutely sure of, getting into property, however it is, up or down, is advantage you. If you can make the monthly payment, and if you have the ability to repay, at some point that property is going to turn into a gold mine. And it's either immediately or 5 or 6 or 15 to 20. That's why most people, when they buy a house, really stay there for a long time. Now, there are investment opportunities. There are things. I have a niece back east who sold her place because somebody offered her more than she can imagine ever getting for it. So she sold, now she's renting. Advantage real estate, always. Okay, a couple things. There's some mega trends out there. One reason I want to get into it. 4 mega trends this year, which you have to pay attention to because it's going to affect everybody in that particular, in the real estate mortgage lending business. First one is tighter labor market. What does this mean? It means the employers are going to have to pay more money. Now, that too is inflationary, right? If you're going to pay somebody $15 an hour, we used to pay them $10 an hour, that's inflationary pressure called tight labor, meaning if you want skilled labor, if you want expertise in a certain field, you're going to have to pay for it. Tighter labor market is good for the labor market. It's not necessarily good for the employer. It has been so far, so long down for people in the labor market. Now, we call it the labor market, but they're skilled laborers, unskilled laborers, people who have advanced degrees, people who work in tech, people who work in finance, people who work in a real estate mortgage business, all have been, their particular wages have been held down for a long, long time. This is the first time that I've seen it in a long, I can't remember, where the labor market was so tight. There are 11.5 million jobs available out there right now that they can't fill. So in order to get them filled, we talked to a guest earlier and today who said the reason is because it's not quite the fit that the people who want to get a job want. They can pick and choose. Remember when an employer could pick and choose, and now the employee can pick and choose. And that's a good thing. Another one, tougher lending standards, higher rates. That's happening. There's no doubt about it. Anybody who hasn't realized that this is happening has not been paying attention. Now, one of the reasons it's happening, which is an underlying reason for the megatrend, is because employers want to see employees back under the thumb of the employer. I mean, let's just put it frankly, they want to hire people more cheaply in order to get them back to work. And until that particular part of the megatrend is solved, we're going to see tougher lending standards and higher rates. Number three, higher costs for materials. Okay, and I don't care what you're buying. Whatever it is, it's made up of stuff, and that stuff costs more. And I don't care what you're buying, it costs more. I don't care whether you're buying from China or wood from Canada or oil from Mexico. Things cost more, and that's a trend that's going to continue. Used to be transitory. I said it many times on this show. It's not transitory. It's happening. It's going to continue to happen, and we'll see what happens, but that's a mega trend. The last one, shrinking inventory. Yes, they're talking about housing inventory. It's shrinking and going to get even less. Some of the things in the housing inventory, in the housing market that you're not aware of, is that even though there is more building permits being pulled today than have in the last 10 years on a year-over-year average, there's still about 1 million properties short each and every year. And that is going to continue. Even though we've seen some population dips, it still doesn't mean most people want to buy a house and own a house. So the shortage of materials to build those houses, to build whatever it is, whether it's a car, whether it's a microchip, the shortages will sustain nothing unless that particular piece of the puzzle is solved. Will it be solved? I don't know, but that's one of the mega trends for this year. Listen, thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. I'm Jeff Barton. This is The Mortgage Voice. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show, The Mortgage Voice. Jeff Barton is available on demand and on the air. Anytime you need to find the latest mortgage information, you can find us immediately on the tube. We upload the version of the show every week. YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. Just search for The Mortgage Voice. You can also listen to the show on demand with your mobile device via any of our podcast partners. We got a ton of them. Apple, Google Podcasts, Spreaker, IO Clips, and Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Plus, we're still available on traditional radio in a number of markets, and I'm going to tell you what those markets are. Inland Empire, Southern California, Las Vegas, Nevada, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Lake Tahoe. So if you're in any of these areas, listen. We're on Saturdays and Sundays, usually a couple times a week, a couple times on the weekends, or you can go to any of those podcasts, and certainly on YouTube, Jeff Barton, The Mortgage Voice. Thanks very much for listening. Again, I'm Jeff Barton. Let's get right to the news to use section. Mortgage interest rates, 30-year fixed rate loan, 3.73. The 15-year is at 3.0. That's the first time the 15-year has been over 3% in almost a year and a half. Just saying. The FHA is at 3.45%. The jumbo loan is at 3.38, and that's up too. The 5-1 ARM is at 3.65. The 10-year yield on the 10-year bond is 1.822. Now, we busted above that 173 to 177 mark a couple weeks ago, and then we dipped back down, and now we're up above it again. We're not sure what the next level will be, what the range is going to be, but I'm saying we're going to see two sooner than later. Interest rates around the world have definitely begun to rise. Some countries have been extremely aggressive. The Bank of England raised by a half a point their lending rate, and the U.S. is set to follow with a quarter point hike in March. Obviously, there are some countries that are more dovish than others. Lagarde, she said that the ECB, the European Central Bank, they are going to be less hawkish. Hawkish means they want to rise quick. Dovish means they want to rise slow. But they're both wanting to raise the interest rates. And that is something that is, again, a worldwide phenomenon. Some countries, I'm trying to think. Is it Uruguay or Paraguay? I get them mixed up all the time. Anyway, they are raising the rates for a sixth time by, I think it's a point and a quarter, just to try to quell their inflation or what's going on. Now, in the U.S., yes, we've had inflation. Europe, yes, we've had inflation. But you think some of these countries, which both have no oil, have no energy, have to import most of their foodstuffs, have to import most of their raw materials in order to make anything, what the inflation is like in those places. I'm not saying it's great here, but in some of these places around the world, it is awful, horrible. And so the only way to combat any kind of inflation is to raise prices. Raising prices is a way, and it's almost counterintuitive. If you've got rising prices in terms of inflationary pressures, like your milk goes up to $1.50, the way to stop the inflation is to raise prices again. So the raising of the lending interest rate is the way that the federal the central bankers around the world are trying to quell inflation. Now, we talked earlier in weeks before about China and how they're doing the exact opposite. They're in a completely different situation in that their country is really focused on growth, has been since forever, and they've been at double-digit growth, again, for at least 10 years. Well, now they're down around 4%, and instead of worrying about inflation, which I think being a dictatorial kind of place, that they can really set expectations with their population and get no flack for it. They're not going to have people marching in the street if prices on a certain item go up too high, because that's just, I don't know if anyone remembers Tiananmen Square and what happened there, about 20 years ago, 25? How long ago was that?
Yeah, that's 25 years ago, I would imagine.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, in the breath of springtime, or whatever they called it when they were loosening or trying to loosen up some of the restrictions, a lot of protests. Anyway, countries like that don't have to worry about the backlash from the population because they'll just squash whatever protests there are. However, their approach to loosening the strings on lending, which is completely the different way that the West is doing it, specifically in the United States, we're tightening the restriction on money, making it more difficult, not more easily. Yeah, you know, all of that. So two ways to do it. We'll see what happens. I know that this particular way that the U.S. is trying to curb the inflation, what's happening to you, and, you know, you're going out of the store, especially a lot of people on the, you know, who are not making, let's say you're making $30,000 less, $50,000 less, you're going to feel 20% rise in your food costs, because that's going to mean, you know, you can't pay gas or you can't pay the heating bill. And in the winter months, especially this time of year, especially in most of the country, it's a real disaster out there in terms of the weather, the heating bills, all that. So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see what happens in the inflationary front. I think as we go forward, as we see how different countries handle inflation, it's almost how different countries handled COVID. Some were very aggressive. Some were halfway measures, which I would count the U.S. in halfway measures, because half the people didn't want to do it and half the people did. And so, 33? Okay. 33?
Tiananmen Square, 33 years ago.
Oh, 33. Sorry. Oh, my gosh. That long? Yeah. I'm that old?
Yeah.
Tiananmen Square.
Log of the tooth.
Oh, my gosh. 33 years. Oy, oy, oy. Okay, let's get into some other things. We talked about the Bank of England. We talked about the European Central Bank. Okay, there were last year, when it was the best mortgage year ever in terms of profit for mortgage companies, but mainly for banks. There were 7 or 8 different mortgage companies, not banks, who went public. Public means that you go and you sell stock and you raise money in the public markets for your company. Those companies were Rocket Mortgage, United Wholesale, Loan Depot, Guild Holding, Home Point, Finance of America. All of these companies went into the public markets, became public companies, and, you know, raised a lot of money. Well, collectively, since I would say August of last year, this group of mortgage lenders has lost a total of, let me get this number right, $36 billion in total market cap. These public entities, mortgage companies, went public, made a ton of dough in their initial public offering, and as the stock prices rose, they absolutely fell, lost $36 billion market cap, these 6 or 7 companies. That's an incredible number. You think about that. So when people say, what's happening in the mortgage world? Why are mortgage interest rates rising? Well, mortgage rates are rising because of inflation. But these companies, which derive their sole income from mortgages, lost $36 billion in market cap. Why? Because we're going to be doing less loans this year. A lot of less loans. Some of these companies are strictly or were, I mean, the ratios were like 60-40, even 50-50, refinance to purchase. If you're in a refinance company right now, you're in trouble. Why? Because refinances, let's face it, as we talked about in an earlier segment, if you have a 2.5% 30-year fixed rate loan, what are you going to be refinancing for? You're not. You may take a second out. You may get a home equity line of credit, but you're not going to want to touch that 30-year fixed rate loan. So what is your incentive to do that? Unless you're trying to take equity out of your house. But again, you can do that different ways. You can do it with a home equity line of credit. You can do it with a second mortgage. There's all kinds of ways you can do that. But, you know, these particular companies, to lose this amount of money, let me just give you an idea. Okay, let's pick loanDepot, for instance. From the fourth quarter of last year, no, from the third quarter of last year to the fourth quarter of last year, they lost 91% of their net income. 91%! 100%! You lose it all! 91%! They went from over $100 million in net income to $14 million. Now, that's some incredible number. When you think about that, if you could sustain, you're driving around in your car, or you're Saturday morning shopping at Home Depot trying to pick up something, and you're listening to a mortgage show, a guy talking about what's happening in the market. If you were in your own business and you lost that kind of money, you would be out of business. You'd be laying people off. You'd be, having to put your bags back on and go hammer nails yourself. I mean, that's rough. So this entire sector, right, they don't have depositors, they don't have fees that they can charge, they don't have ATM fees. There's no way that they can make money other than doing loans. So what happens to the people that work for them? We've talked about that. Several companies, I think it was last week, week before, last few weeks, several companies laying off people, number of people, because there's just not enough business to keep those kind of people employed. Anyway, oh my gosh, we're up against it. Anyway, I'm Jeff Barton. I'm your voice in the mortgage industry. Really appreciate you tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.